Welcome to Kindly Gifted. I'm your host, Kate Tarantiva, and I can't wait to unwrap the world of influence with you. Every day, your gifted episodes, see what I did there, to help you become fluent in the business of creativity and learn the best-kept industry secrets to creating an online presence worth remembering. It's really like having a momager on speed dial. So let's dive into it. Listener discretion is advised here. I'm throwing in a disclaimer to note that I'm putting in a trigger warning because there are some sensitive topics in this episode. They have to do with sadomasochism, sexual violence, child abuse, and exploitation, which may be triggering and sensitive to some of you listening. And I completely understand. No hard feelings. You're more than welcome to skip this episode. Tune into some of the other ones that are on this podcast, or I'll see you in the next one. If you're still with me, of course, we're talking about the Balenciaga campaign. The Balenciaga campaign is how I'm going to call it. And I think how it's going to be known for quite some time, at least a year, which is a lifetime in the marketing and advertising world, since we're bombarded with hundreds, if not thousands, of ads a week. And we remember, I don't know, like 0.1% of them, right? Most of the time you forget an ad like 5 seconds after you see it, right? So let's talk about it. First, I'm going to let you Google. Here are some things you can put into Google while you're here. Balenciaga scandal. Oh, and go to images. Balenciaga scandal. Balenciaga child campaign. Balenciaga office campaign. Balenciaga Adidas campaign. Balenciaga advertising scandal. Balenciaga suing for $25 million scandal. Okay. So now that you've Googled and you've clicked over to images, we are right on the same page. Everybody's been blowing up my phone, either sending me like articles from this controversy or asking for my opinion. So here it is, my unsolicited opinion. I do want to note that I don't work for Balenciaga. I'm not affiliated with them. I've never worked for them. So I don't know a lot of maybe the internal things that are going on. I just know what's in the press. I know what's being discussed in the media, and I'm using my expertise as somebody who is an art director, who has been on set, who knows what goes into advertising campaigns, who has both art directed and executed advertising campaigns for small and big brands alike. That's the opinion I'm giving. This is the perspective that I'm giving. So there are two controversial Balenciaga campaigns circulating, and I think they've kind of been grouped into one because there are some common themes, namely child exploitation, but they are actually two separate campaigns. One of them you will see is in the office setting. And also, interestingly enough, I made a reel like 2 weeks ago when the Balenciaga Adidas campaign came out that I thought it was interesting that they kind of released the campaign, even though the collection was debuted a lot earlier, but they released the campaign like right as Kanye was pushed out of the Balenciaga Yeezy relationship. And then Bella Hadid was the face of the campaign, which if you're familiar, she is really big into social justice advocacy and social justice issues. So it was interesting that she was in that campaign. But in any case, there are two distinct campaigns with a common theme of child exploitation circulating in the interwebs that Balenciaga has commissioned and executed. The first one you'll see is in the office setting, and the second one involves children. You'll see just children posed, and usually it's in like a bedroom or a living room scenario. So the office campaign has references to cannibalistic child sacrificial references, rituals, excuse me, references to cannibalistic sacrificial rituals of children. There's also a supposedly misplaced document that happens to be a court case on virtual child pornography. Those are amongst just two very horrific and questionable things to include in something like that. The second campaign concerns children, and you'll see just children like standing posed facing the camera. I think some of the shots also feature children laying down like on the couch or something like that, but most of them are just standing like facing the camera. The photographer of that specific campaign was Gabriele Galimberti. And he actually was hired, I believe, for his artistic style, because if you Google him, a lot of his photographs, specifically of children, he is, I believe, like famous for photographing kids, are they're posed that way in kind of that same setting and composition, and artistic style. Now, if you look at the Balenciaga photos featuring children, you will note immediately that they're holding stuffed animals. Same stuffed animals that were on the runway. Except it's a little weird that a kid would be holding those, right? When I first saw them in the kid's hand, specifically there was one, I believe it's the child on the pink bed. I was like, "Oh, steampunk Teddy." And then when I saw the other one, I was like, "Hold on, this is weird." It's like literally in BDSM bondage wear. And then in front of the child, there are liquor glasses, like there are wine glasses and champagne flutes, which is just think it's a strange setting for a child to be in. And also considering that in order for child models to appear in a campaign, their parents have to approve their appearance. It's not, you know, they're minors. They're not of age to make their own approvals and to express consent, which unfortunately is a theme here. So it was strange, in that regard. Now, what's the controversy, right? In general, like I said before, the themes between the two distinct concepts, one in the office, the other with children, features references to child exploitation, whether that be literal or subliminal, right? And Balenciaga is suing the set designer and photographers for $25 million because of their errors, supposedly. Oh, we had no idea that this was featured in the photos, and we had no idea this was put in the set, and we had no idea they would take pictures like that. So I saw a bunch of comments, and it was interesting because there were lawyers commenting, there were like creative directors commenting, there were all types of people, different people commenting. And it was interesting to see that the lawyers were like, "Well, I mean, how could you could, like, would you notice if that was accidentally placed in there? And how would you know if something was accidentally added to the set?" For me, as somebody who has been involved in the creation of concepts and actually be on set, I can tell you that one, not only do concepts, and we talked about this in the Kendall Jenner Pepsi episode, not only do advertising concepts go through rounds and rounds of approvals, in an empire like Kering, who I would argue is responsible for this, in addition to Balenciaga, because Kering owns Balenciaga. This goes through rounds and rounds of approval. What people don't understand, aside from the fact that advertising can be a flop for the consumer, right? It can not resonate with the consumer, as we see here. Like people might be like, "Oh, I don't want to necessarily buy something because this is like I don't relate to this campaign. I don't get it. This is weird," right? It can also be detrimental to the reputation, not only of the brand, for of course, for something like Kering and Balenciaga, maybe that doesn't matter as much because they have incredible privilege that some brands don't have. And that being said, let's say it was a smaller brand that released a campaign like this. They would be gone immediately. They would be obliterated, canceled permanently because they don't have the status, they don't have the funds, they don't have the influence to bounce back. The reason why Balenciaga is able to play, with controversy so much is because they understand that they have a privilege that a lot of other brands don't have. They have the privilege to release products that are not commercial, that are purely quote unquote artistic, right? They have the privilege to invest into campaigns when they technically don't need to do any marketing. Like the consumers do marketing for them. The media does it. The entertainers do it, right? People who feature and name drop Balenciaga in their music do it for them, right? They don't technically need to do these campaigns. They're able to play with controversy and polarization so much because they know that they can bounce back. We've just seen this with Ye. Like, Ye was dropped by Adidas, by Balenciaga, despite the fact that they have ideal brand fit, I think, because they both play with controversy in order to stay relevant, in order to stay top of mind. So he was dropped by them, by a bunch of other big brands. A lot of people were expressing backlash towards him, like Gigi Hadid and a lot of other industry people, right? Gabriella Carifa Johnson, like a lot of powerful people in the fashion industry were expressing their disdain for him. And yet, when you look at footage from ComplexCon, he practically shut down ComplexCon when he was there, which shows that, like, he still is a big part of culture, despite the fact that what he did was very detrimental to society and harmful to people and re-traumatized people with his anti-Semitic remarks and everything else, right? So Balenciaga understands that they have that same privilege as well. And so Balenciaga is suing the photographers and the set designer for $25 million, to me, is absolutely ridiculous because, like I said, I've been involved in creating concepts. This goes through so many rounds of approvals, especially if it's a big brand, especially if the advertising could be detrimental to the reputations of investors, of celebrity affiliates, of employees, and anybody else within the internal structure of the company. That was my point. That advertising is not only detrimental to the consumer, something like this could not only be detrimental to the consumer and traumatizing for a customer or somebody who likes the brand for its aesthetic or design or style, like in the media, but also it could be detrimental to investors and stakeholders and, like I said, celebrity affiliates like Kim Kardashian or you know, Christine Quinn, or even Dimna Gvasalia himself, if he was in fact not involved in approving this campaign, which I don't know, right? It could be detrimental to reputations of employees, of the children that are featured in this campaign, of the crew that was involved, and more than just the consumer. So because of that, and because a company doesn't want to lose its value and doesn't want to lose sales, they go through an incredibly meticulous process of scrutinization of all of their marketing collateral before the public sees it. That's also why, like, I remember I was talking with a friend of mine. I was like, oh my God, this was quite some time ago. It was like, oh my God, I just got off set. We've been there for like 8 hours. She's like, what were you doing there for 8 hours? You have to like reshoot things. You're like, oh, no. This is wrinkly. This doesn't look good. This is not going to translate correctly. That's not supposed to be there. This is dirty, whatever. Or in a situation like this, maybe like, what's that book doing there? That's weird. You zoom into everything. It's incredibly meticulous in the process of scrutinization. And yes, you can miss something. It's one thing if it's like one misplaced document or like one misplaced object. But it's another thing when it's like, okay, one misplaced document, sure, let's just say that. I don't know. But then there's a common theme throughout all the rest of these supposedly random props that have to do with child exploitation. Then you release another campaign that straight up features children holding teddy bears in like BDSM bondage gear. that's just like way too much to be coincidental, you know? So even if it was, I don't know, but I did, from a consumer perspective and also from a creative direction perspective, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking there was clearly a concept here, and the concept was, you know, sexual violence and maybe BDSM, sadomasochism, child exploitation, child abuse. I don't know. That's just what I'm seeing, right? So when it becomes a pattern like that, then it's like, okay, that's, there's clearly a concept here. But even in the office setting, right, this is where it falls short. Because if you look at the ones with children, everything is very meticulously laid out, right? Everything has a place. All the, like, Balenciaga products are in front of the child. The chains, the earrings, the, like, card holders, everything, the mat, all of it is, like, very laid out strategically in front of the child. So then you think, like, well, clearly the stuffed animal didn't just happen to be there. Like, it's there strategically. It's a product that they're advertising. Then you look at the next photo and it's a child, and in front of the child are beer glasses and wine glasses and champagne flutes. Like, if everything else is so meticulously laid out, this was there for a reason, right? So if that was a very intentional campaign, it presents a very difficult argument for the office campaign to be accidental. Because they were so meticulous with the child campaign, to the point where they hired a photographer who specialized in that artistic style. So it was a very meticulous approach. So then, so had to be the office campaign. The random book about cannibalistic sacrifices of children and the, you know, the court case on virtual child pornography. Like, it becomes a little too coincidental. It becomes intentional. And usually in a setting like that, the creative directors, the art directors, the strategists, whoever is on set there, producers, designers, they have to be like very strategic in what they put into those images and in what they put onto that set, right? But all of that gets approved before people start taking pictures. It's like, is that book okay over there? Or what about this? The Balenciaga team has to walk around and make sure that everything makes sense. There's nothing out of place. There's nothing, you know, that would create a negative image of their brand that would then lower their value or affect somebody's reputation. They have to consider all of these things. So because they have a very intentional presence with what they do, I just don't think it's an accident. I think they're using the photographers and the set designer here and the agents as scapegoats so that they don't have to accept responsibility. And even when something is shot, even after that, it goes through multiple rounds of approval. It goes to retouchers back and forth. Retouch that, retouch that. Oh shit, we forgot. We can't go reshoot that, so we have to retouch it out. You know, it goes through so many rounds and iterations and revisions and approvals and denials and approvals and revisions before you and I as consumers get to see it. Furthermore, what doesn't help the case specifically in like the children photo shoot is the fact that parents were on set and the parents were Balenciaga employees. So kids, in order to be featured in the shoot, have to get approval from parents, right? So the parents are on set and the parents work for Balenciaga. So the parents must know the concept and are completely okay with it, which is what some of them actually said to the press. They were like, well, we found the concept to be completely okay. And it's like, all right, except a campaign was just released before this was released. And it had to do with some themes that were quite a, you know, horrific. And now these themes are being showcased here in this campaign. And you don't see a common thread, but you work for the company. Something about that is off to me as well. Unless that was used as kind of like a PR statement to try to create some more controversy and more discussion. I think it backfired, honestly. And it really like didn't work very well in their favor. But I think Balenciaga needs to accept responsibility and say, you know, if this campaign was created for artistic purposes, right? And they wanted to make a statement about something and it just didn't land, which happens all the time with advertisements. It happens all the time. In a very basic example, you see a billboard and the text is too small and you can't read it. And if you try to read it, you're going to crash into the car in front of you, right? That's a very basic example, but that's an ad that didn't land. And in this particular case, they could have also accepted responsibility and said, this is what we were trying to do. It didn't work. And we apologize greatly. We take this seriously. Instead, they released like a half-assed statement. They were like, we're so sorry. We cannot believe the photographer and the set designer did this. We do not condone this. Bam, lawsuit. Like, but there was no there was no acceptance of responsibility on their part that like, well, they hired the photographer. Even if you want to say, if you want to blame the photographer, which, okay, you could say, yes, it was wrong of the photographer and the set designers to participate in this concept, right? They could have said, we find this offensive. We don't think this is right. Yes, it's a big check, but they could have said, we don't want to participate, right? They could have said that because typically they're hired to execute an already approved concept, which just so happened to feature all this bullshit, right? So they could have been like, we don't want to participate. This is not a good idea. This could hurt our reputation. This is not something we believe in. They could have said that, but they didn't, right? Sure, maybe we can put blame on them for that. However, to put the sole blame on them for the campaign is not right. It's also Balenciaga's job to say, well, we hired these people and we hired them for a campaign that we already approved. I don't know that for certain, obviously, because I don't work there, but I would just assume just because of how it works in the industry that all of that was already approved beforehand. But they didn't accept responsibility. They just treated somebody else as the scapegoat. And now the photographer, who also has a history of photographing children, which now looks weird and suspicious simply because of this campaign, now his reputation is ruined. Can he bounce back? We don't know. Can the agency who represents them bounce back? We don't know. What about the set designer? Are their careers ruined? What about Balenciaga? What do they get out of this? A slap on the wrist? Like, I think the bigger issue at hand also is that we are amidst a larger conversation that has been kind of in peak discussion since really 2019, with Jeffrey Epstein and child exploitation and human trafficking, and now the Ghislaine Maxwell hearing and trial and all of those things. And then a large company with a lot of influence and a lot of funds, but more importantly, a lot of influence on our minds and our media and our perception of things is possibly saying that this is glamorous and exploiting children is cool and fun and like artistic. And it's triggering to people. It can re-traumatize people. And like I said before, I've said this in the I've said this on TikTok and Instagram about when Kanye was making anti-Semitic remarks, and there were companies that were using that kind of to their advantage, like, oh, well, you know, we do support Jews, buy our stuff. Like, brands and businesses do use our trauma to their financial advantage. And we as consumers have to be really careful with that. And if you are working on the creative team or a marketing team for a company, it is your job to speak up, to say something. If you don't like what you see, if you think something isn't right, you run the risk of, yes, losing your job. And that may be a difficult risk. Like proceed at whatever risk you feel comfortable, but when it's something concerning kids, especially kids that are now like child models that will eventually grow up and be adults and have to be explained like what this campaign was that they were modeling in, like, it affects more than just, you know, the consumer. It affects also people, everybody involved, and it can affect you if you're on the team and you approve something like that. So there's a lot to unpack. I just thought I would contribute my unsolicited opinion that was very much requested. I appreciate it. But, you know, it's a difficult thing because they could have been doing it for artistic purposes, but just knowing the controversial and polarizing history of the marketing of Balenciaga, it's very likely that this could have been like just an excuse to get people talking. It's just that they chose the wrong topic at the wrong time, and one that is very hurtful and one that concerns kids that have a future and whose lives are just beginning, and God forbid they begin with trauma. So this is just a note to all my marketers out there, like, have some sense of advocacy for people. And like, we are advertising and marketing to human beings, and we ourselves are human beings. And like, that's something that needs to be remembered. And if you're a consumer, like, just be very careful about like what you're buying into and what you're supporting. It's also a consumer's job to kind of like fight back too, which I think is amazing that in this particular case, it was done, I think, initially started by consumers. And so it's just about being mindful that advertising, you know, and media can be a detrimental tool. But I'm curious to hear what's going to happen to Balenciaga after this. I have my thoughts. I think that, you know, they're honestly going to bounce back just fine, unfortunately, but that's just been the pattern with them and everybody else in their position of power. Our society prefers power and money over the lack thereof. So I think they're going to bounce back just fine. It may take a little longer than normal, but they're going to be back with another controversial thing. Maybe not as bad as this. Maybe they'll learn the lesson. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But curious to hear what you think. Obviously, there's no right or wrong. We're just sharing opinions. That's what I'm doing here. So if you want to DM me, I will put my Instagram in the show notes. You can always DM me about any episode and your thoughts. Very open to discussing. And that's honestly how most topics for this podcast come out, is from conversations I have with you in the DMs or like over text or in the comments on TikTok or Instagram. So keep it coming. I love hearing your responses to things and how you think this is going to play out. Thanks for tuning in to Kindly Gifted. To support the podcast, please leave a review, share with your friends, and don't forget to subscribe. Make sure you follow me on TikTok at Kate Mob for more creative secrets from the internet's momager. See you on the next episode of Kindly Gifted.